Psalm 119. If you don't know where that's at, if you don't have a Bible, hopefully there's someone near you that has a Bible. Usually if you just drop your Bible open, if you have the Old and New Testament, it'll drop at the book of Psalms, and we'll look at Psalm 119. And those of you that know me, you're like, oh no, like for real? 176 verses, all right, but we aren't going to look at all of them. I appreciate all of the musicians. I wanted to thank you, choir and the strings, Nina, all the musicians that put some things together. We thought that would be an honor for Mrs. Goss, looking down from heaven, to hear us sing, lift up the name of the Lord in praise and worship in that regard. And then I appreciate all of you that have come out. Those of you that don't know, I'm the pastor of the church. And so you may say, no, so would you get done and move aside? But if you just put me aside. And what we want to do is honor God's word just for a few moments. And I thought that that would be appropriate. Pastor Amarkos took my story, though. I did. I have to admit this. I can remember I was sitting right back here in the auditorium classroom, and it was just after I graduated from Bible college. And those of you that know me, I've always been very mature, always very just gracious to people. It's just kind of in me. It's just in me. And so I didn't really need a lot of Mrs. Goss's etiquette, things like that, because already I had so much of it. But she was back there, and I remember she was giving me voice lessons, because I figured, you know, I led songs all the time in the youth, and I just love singing, and I love being part of quartets and different things like that. And so I thought, well, I'll take some voice lessons. I remember one time I had just finished up, and of course I can't remember. I think she said I was cutting up or something like that, and that's not part of me. It's just not part of me. And I can remember she sat down, and I was doing something stupid as normal. And I look over, and she's crying. And I'm like, what do I do now? You know, I'm on staff here. I just made my teacher cry. And I was like, is she going to give me demerits? But I don't get demerits anymore. So that's now, but she always did say this. It's why I have the great voice I do, all right, because Mrs. Goss trained my voice. But I wanted to mention before we got into the message in Psalm 119. What's interesting, and we purposely placed the song, How Firm a Foundation, as the last song. I was sitting up here. If you remember, Mrs. Goss wanted to finish up in May, and it took a lot of effort to finish up in May as far as teaching, and that finished up for the academy and the college, 42 years of teaching. And so at the beginning of the summer, I started working on it with Kara, and here I have a plaque that we started working on in June for Mrs. Goss. And on it was How Firm a Foundation. And I can remember going up and talking to her about it the day before she went into heart surgery. I mentioned that to her, and that song has been a blessing to me going through some tough times. And I wanted to honor her. And she didn't know I was making a plaque about it. And I kept on telling Kara, I said, you know what? When Diane's back with us, we'll try to honor her on a Sunday night. And so at her funeral, we honor Diane for 42 years of faithful service. And one of the ways that we're honoring is her Sunday school boys, some of them in our church, some of them training for ministry, who carry their Sunday school teacher out. And to me, I think she would be happy for that. Psalm 119, we're going to look at a few passages. Hopefully you're there. Bear with me. This is not Sunday morning, church folks, so I will try to be short. All right, so Psalm 119, 65, it says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Notice what it says in 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Go down to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And then we go to verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. If you go down to verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. And if you go later in that passage, look at verse 88, and this is where we'll look at, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Here in this passage, and if you don't know a lot about the Bible, Psalm 119 is an unusual. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. But those that study the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And so in the Old Testament, you have what is called alphabet psalms. Right? Not alphabet soup, alphabet psalms. And there are actually seven alphabet psalms in the book of Psalms. And so what they do, Psalm 119 is an unusual one because Psalm 119 is divided into 22 sections. So you'll notice in verse 1, right above it, in most King James Bible, it says Aleph, and then in above verse 9, it says Beth, all right, and then 17, whatever, in Hebrew, all right. So all of them, and this is Hebrew poetry, all of those sections, the eight verses, started in Hebrew with that letter. So there are seven total. So there's six other psalms that they call alphabet psalms. So that's kind of a unique thing. Actually, as I was studying this and looking at it, I did not know this. That's the amazing thing about God's word. You're always learning different things. I did not know that Proverbs 31, the thoughts about the virtuous woman, is an alphabet psalm. And you'd say, well, what do you mean? In Hebrew, what they did is they went from A to Z about the virtuous woman. And I thought that was interesting, and I thought I'd tie that in because to me, Diane epitomized what a virtuous woman was. But one of the thoughts that you get from the alphabet psalm in Psalm 119, what you get is here are 22 sections, and one thought that comes right away out from Psalm 119 is here. What does it mean? Every letter of the alphabet is covered in Psalm 119. What it is saying in Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. There is only, I think, four verses out of 176 verses that don't have some reference to the Word of God specifically. So what David came to know is that the Word of God and the whole alphabet, basically from A to Z, the Word of God is complete for the believer. And Diane found that out. Now, there's something else unique about Psalm 119, and that's what I want to look at this morning. Nine different times in Psalm 119, the word quicken is used. Let's look at it quickly in verse 25. Notice what it says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me. Look at verse 37. It says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me. Verse 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. 149, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me. Verse 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me. 156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me. And then 159, consider how I love thy precepts, quicken me. The word quicken caught my attention because on Saturday I was up, God just... last weekend was our anniversary. It's a big weekend for us. But I was finishing up, and God allowed me to finish up my message a little bit early. And God just really laid it heavy on my heart. And so I text Greg, and I said, hey, you know, I can come up and be with you, pray with you. And he's like, yeah, come on up. And so I came up there. And on the way up, I was just thinking and praying more about my message for Sunday. Then I got there, and we talked for a little while, and it was very evident that death was here. And so we got talking about different things, and one of the things that came up was Psalm 119. And Greg said, hey, it is so good. And he read a verse, and I said, what verse did you read? And it was one of the verses about quickening. And I said, that's interesting. This morning at prayer time, we were praying for you, and I read a passage, and the last verse was verse 88, quicken me. And on the way home, God said, hey, that's the passage when she passes. And when I pulled into my driveway, she was in heaven. And so it really solidified it to me that I wanted to speak about God quicken us. So what is the idea of quicken? And we'll talk about that just for a few moments. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would lead, guide. I pray that the Word of God can quicken us. It can help us. Pray that we push aside some other thoughts. And I pray that we concentrate on your Word. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Word of God can quicken us. So what does the word quicken mean? Our church knows one of my favorite verses is in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick. So I sometimes joke about it, and you know, you're saying, man, the Word of God is quick. Ooh, can't hang on to it. Well, it's Old English. In Old English, King James is written in that. It means to bring to life, to save, to revive, to give life. You get the understanding, aren't you? So the word quicken or some form of it in the Old Testament is found over 250 times. In the New Testament, it is found over 150 times. So it is something that is very familiar in the King James. To the reader of the Bible, the idea of being quick, in fact, the quick and the dead, quickening or quickened is very familiar to us, but specifically in this passage, it's saying that I am quickened because of God's word. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament, we see this evidence. And as you can see, there are powerful passages and it's a powerful idea in the Bible that we can be quickened according to his word. It's the word of God. Fanny Crosby said this, blessed Bible, sacred treasure, precious book of all the best. There is comfort never failing and a calm abiding rest. Read with reverence and commit it verse by verse and day by day. 'Tis the word that God has spoken and it cannot pass away. I got two thoughts this morning that I'd like to bring out from this idea of quickening. First of all, the word of God brings life when you believe it. The Word of God brings life when you believe it. Here in the passage in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, 94 says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Or by believing, by not forgetting those precepts, I have been made alive. Another one is Psalm 174, verse 174. In the passage, it says, I have longed for thy salvation. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And the first idea that I'd like to share with you, maybe you're here this morning and just an honor and I appreciate it and the family appreciates that you came in honor, but you say, I don't really believe God's word. I don't really like God's word. And I appreciate that you came to honor Diane in her passing. But this is what I know she'd like you to know, that God's word, a belief in God's word, is necessary for the next life. A belief in God's word is necessary. Where do I find that? I find that in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, it says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you back up a little bit before that, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then it says this. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you're saying, so why at a funeral is somebody getting up and getting all loud about the Bible? Because it says this in that same passage. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? I praise the Lord for a Diane Goss that was a, in the right sense, a preacher of God's word. In the right sense. And what do we mean by that? She believed in salvation so much and that it came through God's word that for 42 years she was down there in first grade trying to impart the word of God to children so that as they grew up and they matured, they would understand that through Christ, believing in the word of God, the next life is taken care of. There must be belief for salvation in order for the next life to be secured. But also, there must be belief in the word of God for success in this life. This past Sunday night, we talked about faith. And sometimes people come up and say, oh, I have faith. That's okay. I guess that's maybe you have faith in a chair, right? You have faith that food is going to be good. But biblically, when the Bible says faith, it is always tied to saying, I believe and I will obey God's word. So, if I'm going to say I have faith, I believe God's word, and if I'm not obeying it, then I say, no, that's not true. There must be a belief in God's word for success in this life. The second idea that comes out of this passage is the word of God brings life when you believe it. And I challenge you, as I said at the beginning, you're here, maybe you don't believe God's word, you don't really believe much in God. I would just challenge you, you'd say, well, why is there such peace with the family? Why was there such peace? And I can tell you this because we were there, David and Jeff and Greg, we were there around her bed on Saturday. And yes, there is a little tear shedding. But as I was there, the last thing I told Diane is, I'll see you in heaven. And you'd say, how can you say that? Because God's word, I believe it. And that faith is grounded in God's word. And it's because she trusted in Jesus Christ as her Savior. It's not because she was so good or I'm so good that I can say I'm getting to heaven. I am not a good person. I'm a sinner. Right, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And that includes me. But one day I'm glad that sitting in church, I realized that I was a sinner and I needed Christ. And I put my faith, my belief in God's word that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord for Diane's testimony. And the testimony is that the word of God brought eternal life because she believed it. But the second thing, the word of God brings life when you live it. Not just when you believe it, when you live it. So look at the passage again in Psalm 119. Look at verse 159. 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me according, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. So there's two thoughts that kind of came out from these quicken verses. All right, and you can study them on your own sometime. There's nine of them in Psalm 119. And the idea is that through God's word, I am made alive. Through God's word, life is brought back into me. And there are some times in your life, and this is, I can tell you this, as a man that's been in the ministry now closing on 28 years here. And there are some times in your life that you're low. And you know what? Church members may say, well, you know what? You just need therapy. All right? Well, and therapy ain't going to help me. But you know what? Sometimes you're low, and what do I need? The Word of God quickens me. It brings life back. Spending some time with the book, because the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It can bring life. So the Word of God, you notice in that verse 159, it says, I love thy precepts. As I thought about that, I thought of scriptures in the Bible. Living the book will result in submission. What do we mean by that? Obedience. How was it evidenced that the great psalmist loved his precepts? Jesus Christ answered that for you in the Gospels. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's a story told of four ministers, and they were discussing the pros and cons of various Bible translations. Eventually, they stated pretty vehemently and pretty with passion and intensity why, in their opinion, their translation was the best. One said that he loved the reverent English. One stated that he felt that this was the closest to the original Greek. One stated that there was his version reached the younger generation. Finally, the three noticed that the fourth minister was quiet. And they looked at him and said, hey, don't you have an opinion? And the man looked at him and said, well, I guess when it comes to translations and paraphrased editions of the Bible, I liked my dad's translation the best. He put the Word of God into practice every day. He said, it was the most convincing translation I've ever seen. You know, some sitting here, and that's my challenge to you from Diane's life. She would beg you as she's up in heaven now today. She realizes the pettiness of this world. She realizes the silliness of this world and the attraction of this world isn't doing her any good. The vehicle that she had, the house that she had, the possessions that she had, none of those are with her. But what is important now is that she lived this book. And I can tell you by the life that she practiced that she loved it. If somebody was standing up, if a minister was standing up and coming to Psalm 119 at your funeral, would they be able to say by the practice in your life that you love this book? Or would they have to say, well, you know, they said they loved the Bible. We found one. Yeah, it was, we dusted it off and I think it's sitting down here somewhere. We found it buried in a box in the attic. You know where we found Diane's Bible? In her hospital room in the ICU. Because it had to be close. And I challenge you. Some of you as Christians, my church members, I challenge you from Diane's life. We can say we love the Lord, but it was evident with Diane. Why? Because she lived the book by obeying it. The second thing we see is in verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. The Word of God brings life when you live it. Not just if you believe it, all right? And we have to believe it to get to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I also need the Word of God in my life because it brings life when I live it. It's evident by my submission to the book, but it's also evident by my sanctification to the book. Now, what do we mean by that? Did you notice what it says? And you'll see it all through Psalm 119. I challenge you. In our family devotions, we just happen to be reading Psalm 119. And we were doing section of it. We've been doing it for about a week or so. And what I noticed about it over and over was how the Word of God is in contrast to the evil in this world. And you see this in verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Vanity means emptiness in the Bible. Usually it's always associated to the world. The emptiness of this world. And you'll notice that living this book will result in sanctification. The closer you get to this book, the more sinful you'll see yourself. And when you become, this is how I know even in my own life, when I'm starting to shift away from God, when my conversation becomes about myself and what I've accomplished and what I have done, I am slipping away from this book because there's nothing good in me. And that's what this Bible teaches you, that self never is satisfying and this world is never satisfying. And so I want to keep it at arm's length. And a love for this book will make you live it, and it'll make you sanctified. So a lot of debate on sanctification. And there's kind of confusing, but the Word of God isn't confusing if you study it a little bit. Some preachers like to pull stuff out of context and they build a whole thought on one little verse. But sanctification needs to be studied through Scripture. Sanctification means the idea of being set apart or being, so when we say something is sanctified, all right, it is set apart for God. So when I am saved, I am positionally sanctified right then. I am God's. But then Scripture teaches us, and it's very clear, there is a progressive sanctification while I'm here on this earth. That's why somebody, when they come up to me, normally I'll say this, they're like, hey, you're different than you were 5 years ago. I hope so. Now, one, you're old and decrepit. All right, you're looking old. All right, you're looking decrepit there. But also, in spiritual idea, being sanctified, that means that every day I'm trying to come to God and say, God, is there something in my life that is wrong? Make me better. Make me more like you. So somebody that comes up like, hey, you know what? I'm the same I always have been. I feel sad for you. Because spiritually, I hope that you're better. Because God wants you in the process of being sanctified. Man, I love that. When I think of Diane, I think of a lady. Diane was so classy. And I relate to that some thinking about my grandma. My grandma, her name was Grandma Olive. We called her Grumama, right? Which is weird. I don't know. It just keeps going on and on. Like, all right, well, we call her Grandmama, all right. My Grandma Olive was from, I think, Memphis, and she was a Southern Belle. I never, until I went, and it was close to her death, I never saw my grandma without full, I mean, she was always decked out, and her hair was perfect. She was a Southern Belle. And I can remember when she was getting close to death. She asked my mom to come, and she asked her to bring and brush her hair. She was a Southern Belle. And I think of Diane that way. Diane was always just classy. I mean, there's just something about Diane. It's just always everything in its place. But more than that, what I knew about Diane, and I think that's why God didn't allow it. Diane, she wouldn't have wanted this on a Sunday night. That's not why she was doing it. She wasn't doing it for some recognition. She wasn't teaching for recognition. She wasn't teaching to get some accolades. She was teaching because she loved this book and she loved the God of this book. And it was evident. How was it evident? Because she believed it, and it was evident because she lived it. That's my challenge to you. when we're at death's door and they lay us into the ground, will it be so evident what was number one in your life? It's pretty evident. Now, Greg was pretty high up there, too. She loved her family, but it was God. God was first, foremost. And just speaking with her and her sweet spirit, even when we were there at going into the heart surgery, wanted to pray with her and talk to her. And she said, Greg and I prayed, and we have peace. Greg and I have talked about it. I can't give you all the answers. I can't give you all the answers of what transpired over the last few months. But this is what I know. Her faith rested here. And it helped me. It strengthened me. It would strengthen me when I would step in there. Why? Because the Word of God is trustworthy. It's trustworthy in this life. But my challenge to some of you, I appreciate you coming and honoring Diane. But it's also trustworthy in the next. You can bank on this book when it says that if you trust in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You shall be saved. It's dogmatic. You say you can't be dogmatic. I'm not. It's God that is. And you can trust in God. As you can see through the text that we shared, there's an abundant life available through Christ our Lord. It comes through following His Word and His way, which is the way of righteousness. Praise the Lord for a godly example in Diane. She's in heaven now, rejoicing with a new body. No more pain, no more sorrow. And why is that true? Because here on this earth, she learned first to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of this wonderful book we call the Bible. She then went the next step and she lived the book. May it be said of us as believers when we pass from this earth. But you know what? They weren't a perfect person. There's a lot of things that, man, they didn't accomplish this and they didn't accomplish this. They were on their way to do this and this, but they lived the book. I pray that's said of us. Fanny Crosby, I read a song of hers at the beginning, or a poem. She wrote a song entitled, No Book Is Like the Bible. No book is like the Bible for childhood, youth, and age. Our duty, plain and simple, we find in every page. It came by inspiration, a light to guide our way, a voice from Him who gave it, reproving when we stray. It tells of man's creation, his sad primeval fall. It tells of man's redemption through Christ who died for all. In sacred words of wisdom, it bids us watch and pray and early come to Jesus, the life, the truth, the way. Oh, let us love the Bible and praise it more and more. Our life is like a shadow. Our days will soon be o'er. But if we closely follow the counsel of God has given, we then may hope with angels to sing His praise in heaven. No book is like the Bible. The blessed book we love, the pilgrim's chart of glory, it leads to God above. My prayer is, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not trusted in the Savior of this book, would you see one of us? Would you see one of us maybe at the dinner time, catch Greg or one of his children? We would love to tell you about the Savior of this book. He gives you peace. He gives you hope. And you see in this passage, even during times of affliction, He comes next to you and quickens you. Oh, Lord, quicken us. Quicken us. And as church members here today, as we celebrate the homegoing of Diane in heaven today, may it not rest just for a day or two in our being. May it not rest in our mind just for a little bit. May it challenge us to live this book. And it is proven by your obedience to this book and by your purity of life because of this book. May God help us.